Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. Set up. I'm with my good friend here, Cap Chatfield. How are you doing today, bro?
I'm pumped, bro. I've been, ever since you asked me to jump on, I've been looking forward to this. This is such an honor. Thinking about my wife and I, a couple of years ago, before I really kind of got serious about YouTube, we would binge watch your live streams
our house,
like every single night. Dude, it's crazy. Like we were just starting to really get opened up to deliverance, needing to understand more about the demonic and how do we combat that as believers. And so to think, like, I'm trying to think, if I was sitting on that couch 2 years ago and an angel came in and said, you're going to be on Isaiah's live
stream in a couple years,
I would have been like, there's no way. So it is such an honor, man. Thank you so much.
Hey, bro, well, I honor you. I love what God is doing through you. I've watched you since you started your stuff, and then it's just exploded and taken off. I'm going to share a little bit about that as I intro you today. But man, it's just amazing what God is doing in your ministry. And if you guys don't know, I was actually on Cap's channel just a few weeks ago talking about deliverance. And so he brought me on. I got a bunch of religious people mad. I stirred up the comments. We talked about deliverance. We talked about Christians getting set free from demons. And you already know what happened. Yeah. I was reading some of the comments before I got on. People were like, Isaiah Saldivar is a heretic. He believes that Christians need deliverance. I said, yep, I believe Christians need deliverance. And so I appreciate you having me on. Again, your stuff has exploded. It's gone crazy. And I know it's not just through random. Like, it's not just, oh, I randomly blew up and went viral. There is so much work that goes into it. There's so much time that goes into it, blood, sweat, and tears. And so I just honor you for that. And as much as you said, like, man, I can't believe I'm on your show, I appreciate you being on. I honor you as much as you honor me. And so grateful for what God is doing in your life. And you also have four kids like me. If you guys don't know, I have four girls. He somehow was able to have a couple boys. Not sure how he did that. Yep. I tried all the things, but praise the Lord. He has two boys and two girls and has four young kids. So your time is valuable. I appreciate your wife and kids letting us borrow you. But I really want to jump in. If you guys don't know Cap, some of you on YouTube do. He has an extremely incredible and successful YouTube channel, 1.2 million subscribers. And I'm telling you exactly, 357,171,674 views on his channel. Incredible. I mean, thinking about reaching 357 million people with the gospel message, that's Jesus. More people than the United States. It's unbelievable. In the last few years, you've reached this many people with the gospel. And some of you might be saying, well, brother, numbers don't matter. And the reason why we care and say this is how many people we're reaching, we want to reach everybody. We want to reach all the nations, all the world. And for some of you, your friends and family, they're part of that number that we're trying to reach. So we give all glory to God. The channels that we're making are not about us. If it was about Cap, then it would say, like, who cares about the views? But his content is about reaching people with the gospel. So that's why these numbers are awesome, because we're reaching people. And we look at guys like Billy Graham, and praise the Lord for guys that went before us like Billy Graham. But I'm just saying, and I'm not trying to compare, but Billy Graham never reached 300 million people. And now we're able to modern day literally reach not even millions, hundreds of millions of people with the gospel. So, bro, that is amazing. Also, if you guys don't know, Cap is a pastor. So it's Pastor Cap to y'all, but me and him are buddies, so I can call him Cap. He's also a local church pastor, loves the local church, teaches at the local church, and just God is doing some amazing things. So, Cap, I appreciate you, bro. Entrepreneur, preacher, live streamer, YouTube, TikTok, you do all of it. And thank you for being on tonight. I would love for you to start, for maybe people that don't know you, sharing some of your testimony, some of your story, which will lead into what we're going to talk about. And in fact, hold on, I'm sorry, I talked too much. Before I turn it over to you to share that, guys, I want to give a disclaimer. I already know you saw the title. We're talking about money today. So the bottom line is this. Bunch of you are going to start manifesting, getting angry in the chat. Here's the deal. You don't have to agree with everything we say.
No.
You don't have to like everything we say. You could actually disagree with everything we say tonight, and we can still be friends, and we can still be brothers and sisters. So please, don't rage quit in the chat. Don't go crazy in the chat. Be civil. I know people get funny when it comes to money. They get real weird, especially when we talk about what the Bible says about money. But we need to do this. We need to talk about this, kind of like the elephant in the room in the church. So guys, please just be civil. Take a deep breath. Unlike me, you guys actually need to take a deep breath and just listen to what we have to say. I have a ton of verses. Cap's going to give us more practical and more teaching. And then I just wrote down a bunch of verses I'm just going to rattle off at some point to you guys.
Great.
Just to show you how much the Bible talks about finances. So just that's the disclaimer. Be civil in the comments. But without further ado, Cap, go ahead, bro. Let's hear some of your story and start jumping into this.
Well, let me first say, Isaiah, you know this because of the topics that you cover. And when you cover things about deliverance and the supernatural, and people go crazy over that stuff, to me, the devil is always attacking what's valuable. Mm. And that's what he focuses on. And so when you see, it's kind of like when you see a bunch of flies, you know that there's probably food around, some poop around, or maybe like a dead animal around, right? And that's what I think we got to pay attention to. Like, why is there so much controversy around this topic? To me, it's because if God's people really understood his heart, not from a single or two scriptures isolated, but from the whole counsel of God's word, it would revolutionize how we expand God's kingdom. It would revolutionize how we live in a peace every single day. I don't know about you, but I'll share a little bit about my story because I've been a Christian for, I think 11 years now. I've been a Christian for 11 years, and I've been a pastor for most of those years. And I, at some point, I had this experience with God where God told me, Cap, I want you to not just pastor, but go start a business. If you followed me, you know my story. I actually went to film school at the University of Miami, Florida. I went in an atheist, had an encounter with God, and while I was in school, I was in a fraternity, I was partying, wow. I was living that life. I had an encounter with God, and he basically said to me, Cap, there's only room on the set of your life for one director, and you're not him. Ooh. And it's time for you to get out of the director's chair and be directed. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me for a number of reasons. Obviously, being forgiven of my sin and having my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that's number one. But number two, I finally had direction for my career. Mm. I finally understood why God had given me this desire, this unction to tell stories through video. And it wasn't to make my name famous. It was to make his name famous. And
come on.
The irony of that is me saying that with my name behind me on a screen right here. But what God has shown me over time is he has no problem making your name great as long as your name points to his name. The same promise that he gave to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. He said, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you famous. I'm going to make your name great. Why? Because your name will represent the covenant that I have with you. And when people think of you, they will think of me. As Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So God has no problem elevating people as long as people know that they don't belong in the director's chair. So side good. Tangent there. But I finished film school. God calls me to Omaha, Nebraska, of all places, to begin this film career working for a church. The church is now known as Love Church. I came in. I literally packed my bags, packed my Jeep, drove halfway across the country with no plan, just following the voice of God. He spoke to me in a dream. And in this dream, he said, it's time for you to stop chasing after a career, chase after your calling, and go and serve. And so I go. I begin serving at this church. And then shortly after, God opened up a job for me there. And then what happened was I started off as a videographer for the church. That became a whole creative director role. And then I ended up preaching. Like, I just started, like, my pastor, my lead pastor, still my lead pastor and really a spiritual father to me, Pastor Todd Dockson, he saw this gift on me to preach. And so he took a shot on me. He gave an opportunity for me to preach. He gave me Leviticus 13 was my first sermon. So, I mean, talk about the worst text ever, the law of leprosy. That was my first sermon. But God reeled in some fish with that. We saw some people saved through that message. So praise the Lord. But that was like the beginning of me becoming a preacher. And then a few years later, I was serving in the church still, but God put on my heart to go and build a business, to go and start a digital media agency with a handful of other guys who started this company. And from the beginning, the vision that God had given me personally was that this would be a business, this would be a company that would leverage resource from the marketplace to go and, like, basically the Robin Hood plan, like, take that resource and use it for kingdom purposes. And so the goal was to go and tell stories of what God was doing all over the world in the most excellent way. We started off on the right foot. I did my first feature-length documentary. I don't know if you knew this, Isaiah, but I've done two documentaries. One of the documentaries I did, the first one was called Acts, A-C-T-S. It's on Amazon Prime. And wow. I literally had a vision from God that there was a woman in a village halfway across the world whose story needed to be told about how the Holy Spirit was using her to raise up women and children in her community.
What? And you had a vision of this woman. You had a vision.
I had a vision of this, and I didn't even know she existed. But the Holy Spirit told me this is the type of story you're going to tell. Lo and behold, it wasn't the type of story I was going to tell. It was the story I was going to tell. Mm. So we literally pulled a team of people together. We went to the bush of Turkana, Kenya by faith, filming a documentary to go find this woman that we didn't even know existed.
That is insane. And
it is so insane. And we find her, and her name, of all names, was Esther.
Her name was Esther. Dude,
no, bro.
What?
I'm not lying. So we went and we captured this film. We put the film together. We put it on Amazon Prime. And even today, this is what's so crazy. And you get this about content. It lives. It lives on. We did this in 2019. We premiered it right at the beginning of 2020. And I still get people reaching out to me saying, dude, like that movie really changed the way that I think about my faith and how the book of Acts is not a closed-ended book. It's a book we need to live out continually today. And so anywho, I say that to say this business thing started off in a really wholesome direction. But I got to be honest with you because things weren't really going in a great direction with the business. Like it never really took altitude. Mm. It never really became so profitable that we could really expand the way that we wanted to expand. And I remember I had this moment where I was sitting with God. I was talking with God and I asked God, I said, God, what do you want to do with this business? What do you want to do with it? Because my heart was like, this was a vision from God. This isn't my business. What do you want to do with it?
So good.
And you know what God said? He said, what do you want to do with it? Mm. And I was like, I wasn't expecting you to ask me that, right? Because we have this religious idea of who God is that it's like that there's no collaboration, there's no co-laboring.
That's so
good. But you get this as a father. If you, it might be different with girls. I don't know if your girls are like into Legos or whatever. But
oh yeah, let's say that all of it.
Okay, perfect. So they love Legos. Like, if you get a Lego set for your girls, do you want to be the one that puts the whole Lego set together?
Mm.
No, you want to do it with them. You want to make it an activity where you can bond together. And frankly, if you put the Legos in their hands, they're probably going to do a worse job than you. But that's okay, because that's
so
part
good.
Of the experience of building something with your father. And so I had this moment where my father said to me, what do you want to do with it? And I said, God, I want a content machine. And he said, tell me more. And I said, all I want to do is preach. I just want to preach. I want to record videos of myself. I just want a machine that I can take my content, drop it into the machine. You get this as a content creator.
Yeah.
And I want the machine to cut up all the clips, to create the thumbnails, to schedule everything. All of the minutiae, I don't want it. I just want to get in the word and craft a message and deliver the message and then have the machine take it to the ends of the earth. And so the Lord said, well, then build it. So we were starting to build this thing we'd started to like kind of turn the agency into this machine of like creating this content at scale, but we were so focused. I'll take full responsibility of it as the CEO of the company. I was so focused on win more sales, win more clients and build the business so that we can eventually get to the work of doing these testimonies and preaching. So I was putting that dream of being a preacher online on the shelf, saying, we'll get to it when.
Wow, wow.
And then in 2022, my life came to a screeching halt. We hired some new employees based off of some contracts that some clients had signed in order for us to do some content creation for them. And those clients ended up breaking contract. They pulled out. So now our business was flipped upside down. We hired people expecting some money to come in, and then the money wasn't coming in, and now we got these people on our books. So me, as a leader, I'm thinking, what do we, like, these people have rearranged their lives to be a part of this company. What can we do to get us out of this mess? So I started taking on debt. I started taking on debt with this plan of, I'm going to sell our way out of this. I'm going to find deals. We're going to close deals. And we were doing this for like half the year, like up until June, basically.
Wow. I hope Dave Ramsey's not watching this podcast at all, by the way. Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
What's that?
As I hope Dave Ramsey's not watching this podcast when he said I took on debt to pay through, but this all ties in.
Dave Ramsey will like the ending of the story, because yeah. I was in this place though where I was like, I was trying to do whatever I could to take care of these people, and you're right, it wasn't the most economically sound way to do it, but I was desperate.
Yeah,
desperate to just make this thing work, and so that was happening. We're taking on all this sort of debt. Our runway was running out. And simultaneously, I get a text one day from my wife, and she said, I need you to meet me at the ER. And she had just finished a workout. And so I'm like, what the heck? So I go to the ER with her. I find out that she had finished this workout and she wasn't feeling very good. So she took her blood sugar level. And if anybody knows anyone who's diabetic or has been diabetic, that, you know, you want your blood sugar level to ride around 80. That's like normal blood sugar level.
Yeah.
She was above 400, which means on paper that she was going to go into organ failure at any moment. And she wasn't a diabetic. And so we go to the ER. The doctor at the ER tells us, this is your new future. You're now a type 1 diabetic. You also have a myriad of other autoimmune disorders. All of this just happened like that. I was an entrepreneur, a failing entrepreneur at that. No health insurance. So we were paying out of pocket for everything, for insulin, for all the treatment. So I'm watching my business capsize. I'm watching my personal savings hemorrhage to take care of my wife. I have three kids at the time, and I'm like being ground to dust. And you would think, Cap, were you like sleeping with your secretary? Like what was, like, were you like shooting up heroin on the weekends? Like, no, I wasn't doing anything crazy. I was a lay pastor of my church, serving my family. We were tithing off of the gross revenue of our business, and we were praying before meetings. If we had an employee that had some sort of medication they needed, we would just pay for it. Like, I was trying to live this life of like, this is what kingdom business looks like. And it was an utter disaster. My whole life was falling apart. And so I had this moment where I was like stuck between a rock and a hard place. And I fell on my face in my office at my old house. And I, to be honest, Isaiah, I just got really raw and ugly before God. And I said, what gives? Is this how you treat your servants? Mm. Like, here I am trying to build a business for you. And look at, like, you've completely abandoned me. It was really like a psalm sort of moment where, you know, David is lamenting to God. And I would encourage anybody here right now, like, just tell God what you really think, because he already knows what you think. This is an opportunity for you. Whatever you're going through, get real, get ugly with him. Don't take it to another person. Take it to him, because he can handle it. And so I was like verbally vomiting on the Lord in my office. And he's, the way that he coached me through this changed my life, man. He said, Cap, I can't be bought off with the tithe. He said, you and I had a deal. He said, you told me that you wanted to use this business to tell my stories, but you've been so busy telling everybody else's stories, you made no time for mine.
Wow.
Dude, how about that? Ooh, how about that?
Wake
that,
you up.
That woke me up big time. And then he continued on to tell me this. He said, you have Matthew 6:33 backwards. You've been seeking first after all of the things of this world, a growing business, the right income, and hoping that eventually the kingdom of God will get added unto you, being able to do the thing that you're really called to do. That's not what the verse says. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all else will be added unto you. And there was this thing in me, man. There was this thing in me that just couldn't believe that God actually would provide for his work. My wife, you know, she's a daughter of amazing ministers. They grew up in financially tough, is a very financially tough life because they were in ministry. And that was like what would happen is like, well, if you're going to go to ministry, kiss braces for your kids goodbye, kiss vacations with your kids goodbye. You know, it's Taco Bell, McDonald's every night. That's what you're going to get. Yeah. And that's like that stigma, honestly, it's no wonder to me why so many pastors who don't understand what God's word says about God being a provider and a rewarder, especially those who labor well in word and doctrine, it's no wonder to me why so many people get burnt out. It's because we've adopted this mindset that the devil, the world, is a better master than God is. And God had to bring me to my knees in my office and say, no, we're going to flip the script on this. I'm going to give you a shot. I'm going to give you another shot here. And so in that moment, I reestablished this covenant with God where I said, God, this business is yours. Let's give this another shot. Within 30 days, he brought in more business than I brought in the entire year.
Wow.
And he snuffed out this flame of this wildfire of debt in 30 days, 80% profit margin projects, 90% profit margin projects. Insane for a production company. It didn't make any sense. He crushed the debt. And then I'm thinking, this is great. And he said, don't get too comfortable. I'm just trying to take care of the issue on the table right now. And so he said, we're going to rebuild this thing my way. So heading into, now we're coming into 2023. So we're in 2023, January starts. I have no income, virtually no income. 4 months of savings left for my family. 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, 3,000 followers on Instagram.
Wow.
Maybe 20 followers on TikTok.
A year ago, maybe. You had 1,000 subscribers. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, year ago, going. January.
My mind's blown.
January of 2023. And I just had this inkling. The Lord told me, Cap, I'm going to, like, you see what Isaiah is doing? I'm going to make you do the same thing. I'm going to put the same anointing on you to do the same thing and preach online and reach the lost. And so I turned to my wife and I said, babe, the Lord's telling me to do this. We got 4 months of savings. All I'm asking is that you just believe in God, bet on me.
Come on.
For 4 months. And if I can't make this work in 4 months, I'll go get a job. I'll go do something else. But I have no other choice than to just go all in and preach in the good news online. And she said, I got your back. She said, I know you were made to do this. So do it. I got your back. So, and when I say she got my back, I'm not saying she went to work. She's a stay-at-home mom with 3 kids. Like, she was cool with us living on savings and trying to figure it out for 4 months. But for 4 months, I just started creating videos. I started creating 3 short form videos every single day, 3 to 4 videos every single day. And I just hammered away at that, just preaching online, preaching, you know, the word of God, doing reaction videos from a Christian perspective, all, you know, all that sort of stuff, just hammering away at it. And then long story short, it took me 4 months. So that 4 month window, check this out. It took me 4 months to go from 1,000 to 10,000 subscribers on YouTube, which is not a small feat, but it was still like, I felt like if this is my future, that I'm never going to survive because it was just this linear journey of just all this work, but it was all seeds. I was sowing seeds and the harvest was right around the corner. 4 month mark, we crossed the 10,000 subscriber threshold, and then it took me 28 days to grow from 10,000 to 100,000 subscribers.
Wow.
And then after that, it went from 100,000 to 200,000 in 10 days. So we just rode this wave, and then this past December, we crossed the 1 million subscriber threshold. And I'll tell you what, like, I'll be fully transparent. From a financial perspective, it exploded. My world changed. I made more money serving God wholeheartedly with my eye focused on the ball just to do what he told me to do. I made more money that year than I did any other year building business, like with spirit and the mixture of the flesh, which is might as well just be all flesh. It's like, there's nothing good that comes from that. And what's really wild, Isaiah, is like, I'm doing it full time preaching the word of God online. Like, you get this as a streamer. YouTube literally pays me. YouTube literally pays me to preach the word of God online, which blows my mind. Like, when the Bible talks about the wealth of the unrighteous is being stored up for the righteous, I'm like, this is literally what we get to do right now. And beyond that, man, like, we've created this. So we've retooled the entire agency. So now the agency is focused on how do we create discipleship funnels, marketing funnels, to help people get saved and help people get discipled through the content online. So, like, literally, someone goes to my YouTube channel, they watch my gospel presentation, they give their life to Jesus, they click a link, they fill out a form. We send them a drip campaign of a number of videos to help them begin their relationship with Jesus. We have a whole team that's like checking in the CRM and following up with them and texting them and making and praying for them and seeing how they can serve them. We're taking this whole system that the world uses for sales, which there's nothing wrong with that, and we're using it to make disciples. And now it's my full-time job. So
that's so good.
That whole story, though, I had to paint that picture, bro, because bigger than giving me a platform, which I'm so grateful for, and it's such an honor and such a privilege, God healed a broken mindset that I had, which was, if you're going to serve God, your whole family is going to suffer, you know, kiss all that other stuff goodbye. It's like, no, actually, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And I'm not just talking about heavenly reward, as much as probably more important that is than anything else. But God, following God, the Bible says this, godliness profits in this life and in the life to come. And I got to taste and see, man, what a lie. What a lie that the devil's fed the church, that the world is a better master, that Pharaoh is a better provider than Yahweh is. And that's, I'm a so living good testament to the opposite.
That's so powerful. I know a lot of you guys were having audio issues when he was talking about his growth. Basically, last year, or 2023, he had 1,000 subscribers and has now 1.2 million. The growth was explosive. It was supernatural. And one thing I want to point out in your story was, this was the supernatural hand of God. Guys, we are not talking about just you doing it on your own effort, your own strength. We're talking about being led by the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit leading you to do what he's called you to do, to generate wealth, which I have a scripture I'm going to show you guys where it says God is the one that, because we're in covenant with God, he helps us to generate wealth. And we are not talking about preachers bragging about their watches, their Rolexes, their private jets. We're talking about normal believers not living under the power of poverty. And as you said, that nobody robs a vacant house. Nobody robs a broken down home. Nobody robs somebody that has no money. And I'm not trying to be rude when I say this, homeless people usually don't get robbed because they don't have anything to take. People that get robbed are people that have something. There's a reason why the devil wants to take. There's a reason why the devil's after you. There's a reason why the devil's attacking. And as you said, it's in that area of finances. The devil knows if he can rob the church of financial breakthrough, financial blessing, or even having finances. And again, we're not talking about pastors. We're talking about the body of Christ, because most of you are not pastors. Then he can stop the work of God. How many of you know it takes money to print Bibles? It takes money to go on television. It takes money to run channels, to buy cameras, to build studios. Everything that we're doing to advance the kingdom of God, it takes finances. You can't just call, you know, B&H Photo in New York and say, hey, I speak in tongues. Can you send me $20,000 worth of cameras because I want to get the gospel out there? This is not going to work. You can't call, you know, your landlord and say, hey, I speak in tongues. I want you to just write my rent off. So it takes all of that. Now, I personally am not a fan of people flexing wealth and flexing this and flexing all the money they have. I don't think that's something that ministers or pastors should do. But I believe believers should break out of the poverty mindset and say, God wants me to prosper. And we're going to, like I said, I have way too many verses tonight, but God wants me to walk in biblical wealth, biblical prosperity. It is not God's desire for my life that I cannot have any, that I have nowhere to live, that I have no food. The Bible says God will take care of you. God will take care of, God takes care of the birds. How much more does the Lord want to provide for you? But I think the verse you shared earlier is so key. Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. So all the things that we're looking for and longing for and we need to even survive comes as a byproduct of seeking first the kingdom of God. For a lot of us, everything would change in our finances, because obviously that's what we're talking about tonight. And if, guys, no one's commented this, but if you come in here like, are all you guys going to do is talk about money? Read the title of the broadcast, okay? I want you just to read the title of the broadcast. It is what the Bible has to say about money. Tonight, that is what we're talking about. The point of this video is to talk about finances. The verses we're going to give you are biblical prosperity. But here's what where I believe the delusion is. I believe the delusion is because we're all so against the prosperity gospel, and we are in the sense of what it's become, that now we basically don't believe in prosperity, and everybody's like, well, if it's a prosperity gospel. If it has anything to do with money, it's a prosperity gospel. So the devil's used that against us and said, now you shouldn't prosper. Now you should live in poverty. And I also believe, and I know people are going to give me heat for this, whatever, there is a generational curse of poverty. There is a curse. There is a spirit of poverty that it wants to rob you, wants to keep you poor, wants to keep you broke, wants to run through your family line. Here's how I could prove it to you. Go read the Bible in the Old Testament and see how many times the people of God got pillaged, where the devil, the enemy, the enemies of God came and stole all of their wealth, came and stole all of their cattle, came and stole all of their finances. That was not a good thing. That was not God robbing them. God was not coming into his own people saying, give me all your gold, give me all your wealth, give me all your animals. It was the enemy coming in and stealing from the people of God. So we know that is the will of the enemy, is to come and steal, kill, and destroy. That's what the devil does. So the devil wants us to live under the power of poverty. The devil wants to buy us to buy into a poverty gospel, right? Of course, when we talk about the prosperity gospel, which I'm going to ask you about in a moment, we don't believe in God wants every person to be flying around in private jets and every pastor needs to live in a $10 million home. We understand that aspect of the prosperity gospel is wrong, but there is a real prosperity gospel, and that is God wanting you to prosper, wanting you to live good, wanting you to have a house over your head and have finances, have food, and be able to sow into the kingdom of God. So what are your thoughts on this prosperity gospel? I know everybody's against the prosperity gospel in the way that it's seen in the world because of preachers that are bragging that their watch is worth more than your house. I think that's very cringe for a pastor to get up and say, my watch is worth more than the house you live in, come give. That's obviously cringe. That's obviously we are against that. And that happens, and I won't mention any names, but I can mention a list, but I won't. But what are your thoughts on this whole idea of the prosperity gospel and how that's really robbed the church of walking in prosperity?
I think the way that you just described it was so brilliant, because my problem with the whole phrase prosperity gospel in general is it means something different to everybody. There's like this, like, I don't think everybody has the same definition of prosperity gospel, because we don't see prosperity gospel in the Bible. So it's like, it's a cultural term that's evolved and taken shape and just has been thrown around very casually, and has especially been thrown around very casually anytime a pastor says anything about prosperity. I did a message a while ago at our church, and I think it was the title, the message was Four Secrets That Demons Don't Want You to Know. The message itself had nothing to do about finances, but I opened up the message and I talked about all of the things I hate. And I hate the devil. I hate sickness. I hate poverty. And our media team clipped that and posted that. And Muhammad was Lord. You would have thought it was, people lost their minds that I had the gall to say I hate poverty. And people were like, oh, he's a prosperity preacher. And I'm like, dude, the Bible says that God's people perish for a lack of knowledge. And I'm like, if you hate the word prosperity so much, you're going to have to take a Sharpie and start scratching out a lot of covenantal promises that God has made with his people. You're going to have to start crossing out things in Psalm chapter 1, in Joshua chapter 1, in 3 John 2.
Just write out the whole book of Proverbs. Take it all away.
The whole book of Proverbs. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. New King James Version. So this isn't just some like weird, you know, some guy in a cabin writing this.
It's not the Passion Translation. Here we go.
No. And God bless those that love the Passion, but get yourself a word-for-word translation as well. Verse 2 says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper, there's that word again, in how many things? Some things? No, in all things, and be in health. just as your soul prospers. And so for me, here's what I like to, here's what I'm more concerned about, Isaiah. I'm less concerned about trying to dispel all these different connotations of what the prosperity gospel is. I just want what the Bible says.
Yes.
Just tell me what the Bible says. It's the same thing about what does the Bible actually say about deliverance? What does the Bible say about healing?
Yeah.
Why do we add so much man-made doctrine to this? That's what's confusing everybody. But if we just go to the Word of God, the whole counsel of Scripture, it's going to weigh everything out. You're going to balance everything out, and the truth will set you free. So for me, when it comes to the prosperity gospel, I guess one way that you could phrase it is the prosperity gospel, whatever people believe about it, you can't deny that there is a prosperity of the gospel.
That's good.
It's good news, for crying out loud. And what's the good news? I think sometimes, Isaiah, we limit and cheapen the gospel to being simply a message of salvation, which, don't clip me and don't throw stones at me, obviously is foundational. If we don't have salvation, if we don't have forgiveness of sins, this is our best life, and then we spend eternity in hell weeping and gnashing with teeth forever, which I preach a hard gospel, which is so crazy, man. People are like, you either preach prosperity or you preach the full gospel. And I'm like, let's preach the whole Bible.
Yes.
I believe it all. But here's what we got to recognize is Jesus went around and he actually emphasized the gospel of the kingdom more than anything.
Right. So
what was he doing? Well, here's the benefit, and I'm not saying this to pat myself on the back. I'm saying this as one of the unique benefits that I have as somebody that went to film school before I went to a Bible college. So in film school, one of the things that we learned was this thing called narrative structure of like how is a story structured? It's the reason why every Pixar movie is generally the same, but they're all kind of different. And they all have the same kind of princess, and they have a knight in shining armor, and da-da-da-da. There's a story structure that sells, and that story structure is actually derived from the gospel, from the story of the Bible, because the Bible says that eternity is written on the hearts of man. Mm. Our hearts are crying out for this good story. And any good story does this. It starts off with a problem that must be completely resolved.
The hero's journey.
Good night, Quinny. I love you, pal. My son just came in to say good night.
I love that.
I love you, brave.
My daughter's at the door knocking. I had to mute myself a minute ago and be like, go to mommy. She's asking for something.
I know, but my son Quinn was carrying his little elephant. His he was just watching a movie. His eyes were like this. He's like, good night, dad.
That's real. I love that.
I'll try to kiss you later.
I love that.
So any good story, the problem introduced at the beginning gets resolved, and it gets resolved emphatically at the end. Like, the end is always better than the state of whatever was at the beginning. So when you have the Bible, this is exactly what the Bible is. The Bible begins with what? It begins with a garden. And in this garden, there was no disease, there was no death, there was no destruction, there was prosperity. In fact, go read Genesis. God created this garden, and he actually put gold in the garden. And he said it was good. And there was only two people. They weren't going to be selling things to each other, but this was going to be a resource that they would eventually use to barter and trade for cattle and things like that. And he gives them this command. He says, go and take dominion, be fruitful and multiply. Take dominion, kingdom. A kingdom is a king's dominion, right? So what happens? Dominion is lost in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sin. They eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, brings in the curse of sin. The whole cosmos goes off kilter, and that's where we are today. When Jesus comes to reintroduce people to the reality of the kingdom that was lost in the garden. So he's coming and he's restoring order. He's restoring order. He's healing the sick. He's casting out devils. He's providing miraculously. I'll give you a number of accounts. Number one, when Jesus blesses Peter's business. Some of you don't realize this, but when Jesus told Peter to cast his net out the other side of the boat, it wasn't because fishing was his hobby. It wasn't a Saturday and he was bored and he wasn't playing tiddlywinks. He decided he wanted to go fishing. Fishing was his profession. If he didn't fish, his family didn't eat.
It's good.
And they couldn't pay taxes and all that sort of stuff. So what happens? Jesus comes along the scene, tells Peter to cast his net out the other side when he wasn't catching anything all night. And his nets were filled to the point where they were bursting at the seams. So much so where Peter had to bring other people from other boats into his boat to help him. Let me tell you, I'm just going to preach right now. God is interested in blessing the work of your hands. He's interested in blessing your business. He's interested in blessing you because the blessing doesn't end with you.
That's right.
God wants you to be a river and not a lake. It's not about us hoarding resource and hoarding blessing. The same covenantal promise that God gave to Abraham in Genesis 12, I will make you a blessing. I will bless you and you will be a blessing. That's what happens when Christians come into alignment with the covenantal promise that God has given them to create wealth, to create opportunity, to liberate and uplift people out of the system of poverty. And that's what happened to Peter in that moment. And you'd think that, oh, well, if God really blessed somebody, if God's going to bless them, then they're going to make that thing an idol. It can happen, but Peter didn't get onto the shore and make a golden fish and worship the golden fish. He fell before Jesus and he wept and he said, depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. The goodness of God brings man to repentance. And that's what happened to Peter in that moment. And then Jesus probably had a smile on his face and said, don't worry, I'm going to make you a fisher of man. So come follow me. And then Peter left everything. When God touches your life in that way, your response is, that's the source. I'm following that guy. Because no matter where I go and what I have to go through and what persecution might come, I know that that guy right there is the prosperer. And I'm going to follow him so I can prosper in any season, as it says in Psalm 1.
That's
a couple more examples. I'll just share a couple more examples. Jesus multiplies the fish and the bread. All these people are following him, and you'd think, well, it's all about their needs getting met. Well, if it was just about their needs getting met, then there wouldn't have been leftovers. Because what happened was Jesus multiplied the fish and the bread. Everybody ate to their filling, to their desire, and then they have 12 baskets left over. There was an overflow. That's the kingdom. The kingdom is an overflow because our God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Finally, a final example I'll share. Peter made a comment about needing to pay taxes. And Jesus said, go and catch a fish, and in that fish's mouth will be a gold coin. Use that gold coin to pay your taxes and to pay my taxes. And so you have all these examples where Jesus is showing, what is it? His life was essentially, don't get weird about this word, hear what I'm trying to say. His life was a portal between the reality of heaven and earth. And that's why he says to us, pray this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If it's not in heaven, it shouldn't be on planet earth.
That's so good.
And so if poverty's not in heaven, then we need to be a people that agree with God and say, we hate poverty, and God, we're gonna partner with you in every way possible to free people from the clenches of poverty. So
yeah, that's really good.
That's why I'm passionate about it.
Yeah, that's really good. And I wanted to also make the point that there's a lot of people I think that have, I heard you talking about this, extreme poor work ethic, and they're like, Lord, bless me. Like tonight, we're going to pray a blessing. There's a prayer of Jabez, Lord, bless me. And we're going to pray that. It's a biblical prayer. It's in the Bible. We're going to pray tonight the Lord would bless your business. There would be too many fish for you to count. There'd be gold coins in the fish's mouth, that your business would prosper supernaturally the same way Cap shared his testimony. And there are some of you that are going to pray, Lord, bless me. But then also there's practical things you have to tie into that, which maybe we could do on another stream of showing up to work on time, being a hard worker, being somebody that's not trying to get rich quick, and all of these biblical principles. So I want to make sure, as we're talking tonight about the supernatural, which we are, and I'm giving you a bunch of verses, we're also saying, Lord, don't just bless me, but make me a good worker. Lord, make me somebody that a company would want to employ. God, give me ideas to start businesses and companies to generate kingdom wealth, not so that I could spend it on my pleasures, my joy, so that I can be a blessing to your kingdom. And guys, here's the bottom line. We're all going to go to heaven one day, and money is not going to matter. I think some of us think the Lord doesn't want me to have any money and all of this stuff. But guys, when you die, the money's not going to matter. What matters is treasure stored up in heaven. So to me, I honestly believe, and I don't want to confuse any of you, but I think we consider money to be such a massive deal or maybe stumbling block in the body of Christ. And I feel like the Lord's like, it's just a resource. It's just a resource on the earth, but it honestly doesn't even really matter as much as some of you make it out to be. And you can't serve both God and money. And the entire Bible's about not that money's bad, but that the love of money is bad. Not that right. money's wrong, but that desire to have money and the lust of money. So I tell people all the time, is it wrong to have a nice car? No, but it's wrong if the nice car has you. Is it wrong to have a nice boat? No, but it's wrong if the nice boat has you. Is it wrong to have a nice house? No, but it's wrong if the nice house owns you. So money wants to rule over you. Money wants to be Christ in your life and govern you. And some of you know, maybe your husband's sitting next to you and he's cheap as can be. And you know money rules his life. Everything's about, well, we can't spend this. We can't go here. You know, I don't want to say it because they're watching, but I have friends that's like, they're just the cheapest people in the world. I can't go out to eat, can't buy nothing. And they live lives that, I hate to say it, but they're really miserable a lot because they're like, well, we can't afford this. We can't do this. And it's not that they don't have money. It's that money controls them. It's that poverty. Yeah. And really, it's poverty because they have money, but they're like, they're cheap. They don't want to spend any of it. So I'm thinking like, bro, you're going to die and all the money you've been saving your whole life is going to go to your kids and you just lived in poverty, even though you had money. So for me, it's like the Lord says, don't let money have your heart. Don't let money rule your life. Don't let money be the driving force. Let me be the driving force. And in that, I will bless you. But at the same time, there needs to be a practical application. So I don't know if you want to tag on to that. I do have a bunch of verses I want to give you guys, and then you can interrupt me at any time during these verses and add to them or whatever. But I have a list of verses, and I'm just going to warn you guys. I know you want to say something before I go into this. Many of you might get mad at this, but these are scriptures. So you could get mad at the Bible. I'm going to share some verses that you did not know were in the Bible. Your mind's going to be blown, and you're going to be like, wow, I'm a poverty Christian. Wow, I did not know the Bible says this. I want to reiterate what Cap said. It honestly doesn't matter what me and him have to say. What does the Bible have to say? Doesn't really matter what our opinion is. We might say this is wrong. We might say this is right. At the end of the day, what does the scripture say? So you don't have to believe what we're saying. I want you to believe the scriptures I'm about to give you and go, oh, the Bible actually does speak of God's people having prosperity, God's people having finances, and God's people getting ahead. I know you wanted to jump in and say something to what I was going on with it.
Yeah, I just want, because here's the thing that I think, like, I say this, I try to say this with humility, but I feel like so many Christians say money doesn't matter from such a hypocritical place, because the reality is that a lot of people don't go to church because they have to work on Sunday.
Yes.
And I'm not shaming you if you're in a job where that's the case. Your manager doesn't let you take Sundays off. But the reality is, money matters so much in your life that you're actually sacrificing things of God to go to work. So, but hear my heart, because I'll tell you, I've lived it. I've lived in a place of being broke, of feeling like I can't make anything work and I can't provide for my own kids. There is nothing more demeaning.
I've been there. It's the worst, bro. Negative in the account.
That's what I'm saying. Like there's nothing worse than for me to be a father and not be able to provide. Even the Bible, Paul himself said, He who doesn't provide for his own household is worse than an infidel, is worse than an unbeliever. That's right. And the reason why is because God has created us to be providers for the people around us. And so I just want to qualify for people who are like, man, I don't want to make money my God, but I'm really struggling right now because I feel the tension of what it's like to not have money. And what do I do? And I'm telling you, like, especially with the scriptures you're going to share, this is going to free you up. This is going to free you up, because I think what happens is we think God's over here and money's over here. And so it's like we have the money thing over here and then we have the God thing over here. And we got to pretend like we don't care about the money thing over here, so we don't make God angry with us, or we don't look less holy to our other Christian friends. And we need to understand that it's God here and money here. It's not, they're not two separate things in our life. Anything under the covenant, underneath the covenantal relationship with God and being stewarded by his spirit becomes a holy thing. Your resources can become a holy thing. And as you said, Isaiah, this is what I like to say. I don't serve money, but money serves me as I serve Christ. I tell the money where to go. I'm not going to let money dictate how I feel on any given day. And here's what happens. Here's what happens. Good servants, those who are faithful stewards, see things increase. In God's kingdom, things grow. Things prosper. Think when you're a good steward of what he's given you, it will increase. So here's the good news. Here's the good news. You don't need to be ruled by money, but you can serve God. You can apply these scriptures and you can live an abundant life.
Come on.
Where you don't have needs, but you're meeting needs. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's who we're supposed to be as Christians, not chasing after resource and being greedy, like you said, the stingy spirit, because we don't know what we might lose. No, I can freely give anything. I can freely give anything because the Bible says by whatever measure you give, it's coming back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing, making room for more. In Jesus' name.
You know, I'm laughing, Kat, because when I went on your show, you sent me a list of like 20 questions. And I think after question two, we were at like an hour and I have a list of questions and we're still on question number one, which is biblical prosperity. And we're an hour in, but we need to do more streams together, bro. Cause we're both live streamers.
Yeah, we do.
We can both go. I was thinking earlier, like, I don't know if we're going to be able to talk even an hour on finances. How much can we say? And I have not given my verses yet. And we're still on point one. So here we go. I'm going to give you guys some verses again. If you're religious, this is going to help you. Some of you might get mad at this, but I'm going to quote these word for word. If I'm not quoting word for word, I'll stop and add my two cents. And Cap, if you want to stop me at any point. But I just want to give you guys some of these verses. I have a lot written down tonight, but a lot of them are in Proverbs. Proverbs 21:20. Again, just listen to this first one. The wise have wealth and luxury. Let me say that one more time. This is just the first verse. The wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. And I know people in the chat are like, what? I thought I was supposed to be poor. Okay, Proverbs 13:11. Wealth from get-rich-quick schemes disappears quickly, but wealth from hard work will grow over time. Talking about compounding interest, here we go. Deuteronomy 8:18. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to create wealth, that he may establish. So why is God, this is my two cents here, why is God giving you power to get and create wealth? This is why, comma here, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is to this day. God has sworn a covenant with our fathers that he would bless his people. Cap, this is what you said, and I feel the Holy Ghost on this. My people will be blessed. They will not be in lack. The world will not be more wealthy, more opulent, more powerful, more influential than them. So to keep my covenant with your father, and you are a descendant of Abraham, you didn't know that, you are, I am going to give them the power to generate wealth so I could establish my covenant that I swore to their fathers. I mean, that's Deuteronomy 8:18.
Let me piggyback on that because maybe this is where the prosperity gospel is where people get hung up. Because I think that this whole, you get this because you do so much content on like the new age and like manifesting your destiny and like, you know, speak it into existence. And by the way, I fully believe in the power of life and death in the tongue. Like what we say really matters and architects the spiritual reality around us. But the Bible is clear in Deuteronomy 28 that God gives us a power to create wealth. And this is what I think God is more interested in. Yes, by the way, God will provide resources like manna from heaven for a season, but that's not, God doesn't want his people to live by manna from heaven. He wants to take you to a promised land where you can be resourceful. It's not about begging God to fill your bank account with resources. It's about you being a faithful steward and being resourceful with the gifts, the talents, the abilities, the vision, the wisdom that he's given you.
It's good. So, and this is not for the lazy guys, as he said earlier, man that doesn't have a job and provide for his family. The Bible says it's worse than an unbeliever. So Paul worked for a year and a half making tents while full-time preaching. The Bible, maybe you don't know this, but a group of businesswomen financially provided for Jesus and his disciples. So Jesus had partners. I know you guys are like, wait, what? Yes, Jesus had people that financially partnered with his ministry. Jesus, God, had people that partnered with him financially so that he can do the ministry and he can travel and do what he was doing. I know, again, people start manifesting in the chat. Just open your Bible and it'll help you out. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord. Man, this is so good. I'm getting blessed myself. If y'all are getting blessed by these verses, I'm getting blessed.
It's the Bible, bro.
Look at this, bro.
It's the word of God.
Look at this, Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes a person rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. There's no apology to it. There's no sorrow. The blessing of the Lord makes a person rich. Proverbs 10:4. Lazy people are poor, are soon poor, but hard workers will get rich. This is your, this is the word of God. Lazy people will soon be poor. We just talked about this, but hard workers will get rich. Proverbs 21:21. Whoever pursues righteousness and unfailing love will find life, righteousness, and honor. 1 Chronicles 4:9 through 10. There was a man named Jabez, and we're going to pray the prayer of Jabez tonight, who was more honorable than any of his brothers. His mother named him Jabez because his birth was so painful. He was the one that prayed to the God of Israel, "Oh Lord, would you bless me and expand my territory? Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from trouble and pain." And God granted his request. Jabez's prayer was, "Lord, bless me in all that I do. Lord, bless me. Expand my territory." This is, we're talking physical territory. This was his prayer. "Lord, give me land. Lord, give me property. Lord, I want my family to have a place to live and expand and grow and raise cattle and have children. Give me physical territory." This was the prayer of Jabez. So again, if you're like, "I don't know if I should pray to be blessed." Yeah, the Bible says to pray to be blessed. Joshua 1 verse 8. "Study this in book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you'll be sure to obey everything. Only then will you prosper and succeed in everything you do." There's the word prosperity again. Ecclesiastes 5:19. I'm almost done here. "And it's good to receive wealth from God and good health to enjoy it." Let me say it again. "And it is a good thing to receive wealth from God and good health to enjoy it. To enjoy your work and accept your lot in life. This is a gift from God." So Solomon's saying it's actually good to receive wealth from God. It's like Ecclesiastes 5:19. Proverbs 22 verse 9. "Blessed are those who are generous because they feed the poor." Talking about generosity. Proverbs 8:18. "I have riches and honor as well as enduring wealth and justice." Proverbs 30 verses 8. "Help me never tell a lie. Second, give me neither poverty nor riches. Give me just enough to satisfy my needs. For if I grow rich, I may deny you and say, who is the Lord? And if I'm poor, I may steal and insult God's name." So this is the balance of not getting to a place, and I'm adding this to, this is Proverbs 30, 80, not getting to a place where you say, "I'm so rich that I no longer need God." And Solomon's saying, I don't want to get to a place of where I'm so rich that I don't need the Lord. Make, bless me, Lord, but don't make me to where I forgot the Lord in my riches. And this is where people get off in when they get rich, they forget the one that made them rich or the one that blessed them. Proverbs, I only have three more here for prosperity. Proverbs 21 verse 5, "Good planning and hard work leads to prosperity." There it is again. How do we get prosperity? Good planning and hard work. "But hasty shortcuts leads to poverty." Proverbs 28, 20, "The trustworthy person will get rich, but a person who wants quick riches will get in trouble." And then last one for prosperity, Proverbs 28, 22, "Greedy people try to get rich quick, but only realize they're headed to poverty." So here we see over and over again, men in the Bible saying, "Lord, bless me. Lord, help me in my finances. Lord, make me rich for your glory so I can feed the poor, so I can be generous, so I can spread the wealth." And so these are the things that we're talking about, guys, that it is not a bad thing to pray these things. It is not a bad thing to be wealthy. It's a bad thing when the wealth becomes your God. There's nothing wrong with gold earrings, but when Aaron takes the gold earrings, turns the gold earrings into a calf and worships the golden calf, that's when the golden earrings are wrong. So it's when we take things that aren't wrong in themselves, turn them into idols, and then worship them, the Lord says, that's what I'm against. Okay, I know we're an hour in. I told you we'd go about an hour, but I want to ask you this about
I got plenty of time, man. I am in no rush. This is life-giving for me.
Awesome. Let's talk a little bit about the idea of, this is now, it's like if you weren't getting, you know, offended, you might now, but giving, okay? So there's the idea of giving. We're not going to go super deep today on tithing. We both agree. You should give, you should sow. We both agree you should give more than your tithe. You should give over and above. We'll talk about the New Testament a little bit. Generosity giving is New Testament. Old Testament was tithing. New Testament was giving generously, giving unto the Lord and being happy about it. But I want to talk about giving and the idea of we're actually investing. When I tell people, when you give to a ministry, we're actually investing into the ministry because the Bible actually teaches you're not just giving to a minister or an evangelist or a pastor or a work or a homeless outreach or a missionary, you are investing into them and you will get a reward back. You'll get blessed for actually giving. So let's talk a little bit, Cap. I'll give it to you first. And I have a whole bunch of verses again that I've written down that we'll go over. But let's talk a little bit about giving. Yep. Was this something that helped you in your breakthrough, helped you in the time of where the Lord opened up the windows of heaven? Talk a little bit about that, the giving portion.
Dude, this is one of my favorite topics because I used to cringe at giving. And I was a pastor, and I gave the tithe faithfully. I brought, well, let me say this. I returned the tithe faithfully because the tithe is not about being generous. It's a covenantal relationship with God where God says, I give you 100% of this is mine. I will give it to you. I'm asking for 10% back. So for me, the tithe is not this thing of like, look at me, look at how generous I'm being. It's me being faithful to what God says. And God gives us this thing not to like strangle our finances. He does this to protect us, actually. This is one of the ways that he protects us from loving money. Every time you get money coming in, this is a way so for good. You to reestablish a covenant with God. This thing doesn't rule me. You're the one who rules me. You're the one that this resource came from. So that's why I cheerfully give the tithe. It's like, this is reestablishing the relationship of my business partnership, quote unquote, with God, that everything comes from him. And he so generously allows me to keep 90%. I'm gonna give 10% back. But when it comes to giving beyond that, because I was in a place, bro, where I was like, man, I'm struggling financially already. Like every month, paycheck to paycheck, it was stressful. It's just not fun, man. It's not a fun way to live. It's not fun when you're like, can we take our kids to Chipotle tonight? I don't know if we can afford it, right? Like that, I've been there. And that's like, that's hard. It's hard when you just want to give your kids like just, you know, not like I'm, by the way, I have nothing wrong with first class tickets to Paris, but I'm not just saying that's like, that's what I'm trying to do to normalize for my kids. I'm just trying to have like basic fun with them. And that was challenging. And then for other people to have needs and then me feeling like, great. So you want me, God, to give to them and not give to my own kids. I feel like what kind of picture does that set for them about who their father is if I'm not even able to provide for them and lavish them and love them in that sort of way. And so what happened though with my breakthrough was this understanding you talked about investing. And this is what's so cool about everything in the business world, every truth about the business world is just a reflection of what already exists in God's kingdom. So people who have wealth, for any of you in the chat right now, you're in business or you know people who are in business, when you have money, you wanna make your money work for you. So you typically, like they say, don't put it in a savings account because it's like, you're basically, you're losing money over time with like a 1%, you know, interest rate while inflation is like, what is it, like 1,000,000% now or whatever?
Yeah, thank you, Joe Biden. So, sorry, I had to throw that in there.
Yeah,
oh, man.
Thank you, Joe Biden. We love you.
Carl's
and
Jr.'s
we pray
like $30
you give life
for
to Jesus.
A cheeseburger. Yeah, it's insane. Yeah.
So people who have money, what they're constantly looking for is where can I invest this for interest? And in fact, Jesus talked about this as like a metaphor, a parable. We talked about his father giving talents to stewards and then the master coming back and wanting to get a return on investment, wanting to see that thing increase over time. So you look at the stock market, people invest in stocks, people invest in real estate, etc. Every investment under the sun is risky. There is some risk attached. You could find one that has different levels of risk or reward ratio. Everything under the sun has a level of risk to it. But God is so kind to us that he has given us a system that never fails,
come on,
that always yields results. And the results are amazing. And the thing that we're investing in is advancing his kingdom. And this is the principle of cheerful giving, of offerings and giving alms and helping the poor. I'll give you a couple of examples real quick. In the Bible in Proverbs, one of my favorite verses, it says that he who gives to the poor lends to God. And you know what's amazing about God? God never misses a payment. And God, he gives good interest.
Wow.
So I decided to take God up on that word. And I thought, okay, me and my wife, for example, we were sponsoring two compassion kids for a while. But I had this thing in my heart where I was like, you know, there's kids all over the world that need finances and you can sponsor them month to month. And it's like, it's super affordable. So we had sponsored two. But my heart's desire was I want to sponsor one kid for every kid that I have.
It's good.
So that it's, you know what I mean? So it's just like this thing that I wanted to do. So I hadn't done it. And then I decided when I read that verse, I was like, no, God, I'm going to put you to the test here. I'm going to stop making excuses that I can't afford this. I'm going to invest in this. And I'm going to trust that as I'm giving to the poor, I'm lending to you and you're going to pay me back. Even with my own ministry, I was like, you know what? We got to be more aggressive about feeding the poor. So now every month we're feeding, I think we're feeding about at least 100 kids a month every single day.
That's
with
awesome.
The ministry, with the resource that we're giving. And I'm not saying that, by the way, to bring glory to myself. I'm saying this to you because this is a principle that I've lived by, or that I see in scripture. And I take God's word at it. And I'm like, hey, what's worse? Some people are going to be like, so what, you're giving to get? Well, what's worse? Me holding on to it because I'm so concerned about it, or me trusting God's word and saying that this is actually a safer place rather than hiding it where moth and rust can destroy. I'm investing it in the kingdom of heaven, and God blesses us for it. And I don't need to go into crazy testimonies, like, but I'll tell you what, bro, I'll give you a practical testimony. There's a ministry that has taught me so much about finances, and it's good soil. And I was like, God, I need to give an offering to that soil, because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, if you sow sparingly in regards to offerings, you'll reap sparingly. Mm-hmm. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. So I saw this ministry that's been blessing me, and I was like, I'm sowing into that ministry. I sowed $2,000 into that ministry, just decided right before bed. I just wired them the money. Within 5 days, I got a $2,500 check from the IRS.
Wow.
That was withheld from me from 2 years ago.
Wow.
Like, it was the most random thing. I was like, I wasn't even expecting it. I wasn't thinking about it. But what the Holy Spirit told me in that moment was, your giving is shaking up something in the spirit. Mm. And so I love the simple principle, man, is you can't ever outgive God. And what's really cool about this system that he's given us is, you might think, I don't have enough food to feed my family. I don't have enough resource. With whatever resource he's given you, consider it seed. Don't eat your seed. Don't eat your seed. If you eat your seed, like the widow in the story with Elijah, Elijah's like, hey, widow, bake me a cake as fast as you can. And she's like, I only got enough flour and oil for me and my son to make one cake, and then we're going to go out back and die. And Elijah said, that sounds great, but just feed me first. Like, he's like, talk about, and this is where the tension about like pastors and things like that, a pastor that's manipulating the flock for his own selfish gain, that's wrong.
Yes.
But a minister that's helping his people see, hey, if you sow into the kingdom of God, I didn't write this word, this is what God says. And if you sow into the kingdom of God, there is a blessing for you, which is why the widow who gave her two mites, she was blessed for it. We don't know what her return was, but I can guarantee you that her life was blessed dramatically for that seed that was sown. And so what does the widow do? The widow gives him the cake. And then Elijah says, grab all the jars that you can, because you're about to see an avalanche of oil. And there was so much oil that overflowed in all these jars that she was able to pay off all of her debts and then live off the rest as she sold it. So my point is that if you're in this place where you need a financial breakthrough, and you don't even need to sow into me. You sow where you see the good soil. And I'm just telling you, God's word never returns void. God is not a man that he should lie. And if you give to the kingdom of God, as Jesus said, it will be returned back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. And so for me, I'm excited to give. When I used to hate it, I used to cringe at it, I used to be like upset about it. But now I look at it as like an amazing opportunity to partner with God, to uplift other people, and then my family gets blessed in the process.
That's so good. It's like the Bible says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And my uncle would always say, a lot of you got saved, but your wallet didn't get saved. Because you get to the point of giving, and then everyone just cringes like, oh, I don't want to give. And I think if you're in that mentality, how much are you really in relationship with God? If you're fighting and you're like, I don't want to give to the Lord. I remember in when I first got saved at the youth group, one of the pastors there did such a good analogy. He gave a pack of Starburst to the kids. He's like, hey, who wants this? Well, kids, we were like 18, 19, 20. But he gave a pack of Starburst out and then asked the kid, said, hey, can I have one? Because a pack of Starburst has, I think, 10 or 12 little candies in it. And the kid's like, of course, you just gave me a pack. I'll give you one. He said, okay, that's all God's asking. God is giving you the pack of Starburst and God's asking for one back, and everybody would be like, yeah, of course, bro, you could have one. You just gave me all of this.
Right.
And that is when we're giving to the Lord, we're tithing, giving. We are giving back to the Lord what he's blessed us with. And then the Lord continues to bless us, and you can't I've said this before. You cannot outgive God. You cannot outgive God. And so I think some of us, we are grudgeful givers. We don't want to give. We're angry about giving. I always tell people, sow where you grow. Find good soil. Again, doesn't have to be me. Doesn't have to be Cap. Find good soil. You would never plant your seed on a driveway. You never plant your seed in asphalt. You never go see a bed of rocks and say, let me throw my seed in there and see what grows. And some of you are investing, I'm just saying, into dead, dry ministries. You're investing into ministries that are dead and dry, and you're like, I'm not getting a return on it. But we have to invest in places that are good, that's good ground. So I invest, I support multiple evangelists, but they're good ground. If an evangelist is like, yeah, by the way, bro, I'm cheating on my wife, I'm doing this, I'm not investing into that. That's not good ground. I'm finding ministers that I can invest into and churches and ministries that are doing a lot for God, and I'm investing. But let me give you a couple verses here, and then we want to pray with you guys that God would bless you financially, because we're talking about finances. Amen. This, to me, is probably one of the greatest New Testament verses. If you want to know, guys, like what's one, I'm going to give you more than one, but the first one's going to be important. What's one New Testament verse on giving is 2 Corinthians. Write this down if you're in the chat. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. And this is what Paul says. He says, remember this. So if Paul says, remember this, we should probably remember it. He says, remember this. A farmer, which is what Cap just talked about, who only plants a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Verse 7, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. And do not give reluctantly or in response to pressure. Then he quotes, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Verse 8, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you'll always have anything you need and plenty left over to share with others. So you might read this and say, well, Paul's talking to farmers about planting. No, Paul says you must each decide. After he talks about the farmers, he goes, let me tell you what I'm talking about. You must each decide how much to give. And don't do it, guys. Don't do it like, oh, they're taking up an offering after this. I'm going to sow and partner with Isaiah or Cap or give because I'm reluctant and I have to. He says, no. Don't give in response to pressure. Don't pressure people.
Correct.
And then don't give in response to pressure. God does not love that. But God loves a person that gives cheerfully. And if you do this, and verse 8, God will generously provide for all you need. I'm not going to go ahead and, you know, hit you over the head with this. But it might be that God's not providing all you need because you're not giving generously. You're like, God, I want you to be generous. And Paul says, actually, the verse starts with you being generous and ends with God being generous. So when I'm generous, sowing seed, I'm like, I got seed to sow. And guys, if you're like $5 in your bank account and you have to try to pay for your last meal, we're not asking you to sow it into our ministry. I'm talking about people that could afford it, have the seed. If you don't have the seed, then you're not, you don't have nothing to sow. That's fine. That's a whole different debate, a whole different argument. I am talking about people right now that have seed to sow. You have tons of seed in the bank, and we're talking about money, if you didn't catch what Paul's talking about. And you have all the seed to sow, but you are holding it. You're not generous. You're one of those that just, oh, I don't want to give. Paul says, if you give a lot, God says, I'll give you enough. And I'm not just going to give you enough. We talked about this earlier, but the verse ends with, I'll give you plenty left over to share with others. Acts 20:35, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Luke 6:38, he says, give and you will receive, and your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together, make room for more running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. That's Luke 6:38. Take it up with Jesus. If you're like, oh, I don't know about that, that's literally Jesus saying, the amount you give will determine the amount that you get back. Proverbs 22, verse 9, blessed are those who are generous because they feed the poor. Galatians 6:6, those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all things with them. So this is about ministers that are preaching the word of God being provided for. And then later I want you guys to read, I won't read it, it's too long. I want you to read Matthew 25:35, because Jesus is telling people on judgment day, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and all this. And they go like, when did we do all that? And then Jesus says, when you gave to the least of these, you are doing it unto me. Think about this. Jesus equates giving to the poor and feeding the poor as directly correlated to feeding him. They go, Jesus, we didn't even know you were hungry. What do you mean? We didn't feed you. He says, when you fed the poor, you were actually feeding me. When you gave to the poor, you were actually giving to me. When you visited that person in prison, you were actually visiting me in prison. When you went to that hospital visit, you were actually visiting me. So this is about generosity. This is about giving. Let me give you just one more here. 2 Corinthians 9:11. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. Why are you enriched? Why would God make you rich? Paul says, so you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So the Lord is making this church, making these people rich so that they can be generous and they can be a blessing. That's how I want to live my life. I want to live my life as a blessing. I want to be the guy, and praise the Lord, I am, and I'm not being boastful, but I literally am. When I go to a restaurant with my friends and family, hey guys, I want to get the bill. And all my family fights me. Oh, you could ask any of my family. Anytime we go eat, I pay. And here's why, and this might sound selfish. Some of you might not agree with me. It's fine. Because I want to be blessed. And the Bible says, you're more blessed. It's so simple, bro. You're more so blessed crazy. If you give, if you pay for the bill, and my family goes, oh, thank you so much, Isaiah, for paying for our meal. Actually, you shouldn't even thank me because I'm more blessed than you. You received and you were blessed because you received a free meal. And how many of you know if you take your family out to sushi, it's at least $200-$300. But I'm actually more blessed than you paying for your food because the Bible says it's better to give than it is to receive. Yep. So if I gave to Cap tonight, which I'm going to sow into him for being on the broadcast, and I give to him, he's like, hey, bro, thank you for sowing into me. A love offering, honorarium. You can call it whatever you want. Doesn't really matter. I'm like, actually, bro, don't thank me because I'm more blessed giving to you than you are receiving. I mean, that's actually pretty powerful and pretty simple. The blessing of if I give, I'm the one. So I thank my pastor. Thank you, pastor, for taking an offering. Some of you hate when your pastor takes an offering. You're sitting back like, oh, I can't believe. I'm like, thank you. Thank you for giving me a chance to sow into the kingdom and invest. You're giving me the best investment opportunity. You ever watch Shark Tank? They're not mad when someone says, hey, if you invest $100,000, I'll give you 80% of my company. These sharks on Shark Tank, they're not mad. Like, why would you do that? They're happy. Thanks for giving me a great investment. And the Lord says, I'm giving you a chance to invest. And again, we're not talking about investing in us. We're not going to twist your arm and be like, all right, now become a monthly partner, which you can later, but that's not what we're doing this for. We are telling you, God gives us a chance to invest in his kingdom and then says, I'm going to bless you, and not just bless you. Like, you're not just going to have enough. You're going to have more than enough. And I could testify, I've seen this in my life. God has given my family more than enough. For the last 13 years, I've been on no salary ever. And the Lord has given our family more than enough because we live a life of generosity. All right, bro, I talked too much. Back over to you. Let's give some final thoughts. Anything that I missed or we want to tie up on that you want to cover, let's give some final thoughts. And then I want to jump into just praying for financial breakthrough and blessing. And some of you guys listening, stick around because I want to pray the Jabez prayer, the prayer, Lord, bless me and expand my territory, because I believe there's going to be something supernatural released as we pray tonight. But go ahead. Am I missing anything? Anything you want to add or any topics that you want to hit that we didn't cover tonight? Feel free before we pray.
I don't know, because if we probably should do a part two eventually, because there's
a lot. We got through two questions. We got through two things.
It's funny because I remember when you hopped on my stream to talk about deliverance, you had made a comment that God had given you he like pressed on your spirit to do a live stream on, and you're like, okay, good, I did it, I'm done, you know.
Yes.
On to the
for
next
the deliverance.
One.
Yeah, and for the deliverance.
Yeah, for deliverance. And then it ended up being like months of you just uncovering that topic more and more and more. And that's what God's been doing with me right now with the whole financial conversation. That's why I started this show on my channel. It's a specific stream on Tuesdays called The Kingdom Business Hour. And it's really unpacking all that stuff, how to grow in favor in the marketplace, how to sell without selling your soul, all the stuff. Like, we spend more time in the marketplace than we do at church.
Yep.
We spend more time in the marketplace at work than we do anything else in our lives, really. So, and what's amazing is God has so much to say about how we can be the head and not the tail in those environments and represent the kingdom rather than trying to tread water and not drown while we're in that environment. But the last thing I would say, bro, is Isaiah, I would really just encourage you, man. Like, you clearly have such a great revelation on this. Like, the way that you're talking about it, clearly you live it as well. My final exhortation to everybody listening, I want to hit on the $5 person, like you said, real quick, because I want to make it clear to that person in regards to, if you feel stressed about giving, then don't give. Because like he said, If God delights in a cheerful giver. He wants you to give in faith. He wants you to give with the expectation, as it says in Hebrews 11:6, that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you're not there yet, don't sweat it.
It's good.
But my encouragement to you, man, I've heard so many testimonies. I have a friend who's an evangelist, and he had a guy come into his revival night. Homeless guy came in off the street. He had 40 cents. He gave my evangelist friend that 40 cents. Because think about it, whether it's $5, yeah. $5 barely gets you a coffee at Starbucks these days.
Yeah,
so it's like, you know, if it's all you got, it's actually, you're in a pretty advantageous position. So this guy only had 40 cents. He sowed 40 cents into that ministry. And before he left the building, somebody came up to him and said, God told me to give you this $40.
Wow.
I want you to understand what that is. This guy got 1,000x return on his investment. Or not 1,000x. What is it? 100x?
Don't ask me, bro. 40 cents. No, I'm 40, the wrong. 40 I'm times, the wrong, I'm the 40 wrong
times 10
ask.
Is four, $4. 100x. 100x. 100x return on his investment in an hour. I can't tell you how quickly things happen. And you might say, well, if I sow, what do I do in the meantime? You get to work. You sow, you keep living your life. You keep being faithful, but watch out. You keep your spiritual antenna up and your harvest will come for you. And so I just want to clarify for that person, because
I'm glad you said that.
if you're stuck in a position where it's like every month you got $5 left and you're like, this is stressful. I'm telling you, just bet on God. Again, I don't even care. I don't need it. Isaiah doesn't need it.
It's good.
Invest it into a higher ministry. I would actually encourage you. I would encourage you, if you're struggling with, well, is it they want my money or whatever? I would encourage you to give it elsewhere so that you know that my heart's not attached to what you have. But for your sake, watch what happens. God's not a liar. His word is true. If you invest in his kingdom, he says he will open up the heavens above you and he will pour out a blessing that you cannot contain, and he will rebuke the devourer for what you have left for your sake. So this is good news, baby. God has given us good news with this message.
I'm glad you said that, because I know there's people in the chat, and there's no shame on anybody. We're not here to shame people, guilt people, but those people saying, like, I'm on welfare, you know, I'm on disability, I don't have any extra finances. Here's the deal, guys. In the book of Acts, the people that did not have money were provided for by the people that did have money. This is how it went. The rich people gave their money, and the Bible says they brought the money to the apostles' feet, and the apostles distributed it to those who were in need. So it wasn't like the apostles saying, hey, you poor people, you need to give to us, we need this. No, they said, we're gonna provide for you for a season until you get on your feet. So if that's you, I promise you, God is not sitting up there right now with a lightning bolt saying, if you don't give your last $5 or dollar, I'm gonna throw this lightning bolt at you, you're under a curse. Get on your feet. God is not mad at you. God is not angry at you. There are seasons where you can give a lot, and there are seasons where you can't give at all. And the Lord is not up there saying, well, you didn't give. You only gave 8%. You only gave 4%. The Lord is patient and kind and wants to provide. Get on your feet, and God is going to have his way. I definitely don't want you feeling condemned like you're under a curse. In the old covenant, you were. And praise the Lord that we're not under the old covenant anymore. Praise the Lord that we're not under the old covenant. There is a curse for everything in the old covenant, but we're not under that covenant any longer. Like I always tell people, if you could afford to sow, sow. If you can't, don't sweat it. Don't apologize. Don't give a dollar. And a lot of you do, and I don't want you to be this way. And you'll give a dollar and say, sorry, I don't have any more to give. Don't be sorry. Don't be sorry. Like that widow that gave her, I don't even know, what was it called? Her last mite
two
or whatever
mites.
They called it. She gave her two mites. And the Lord said, she's the most blessed. More than the Pharisees that were laying down the gold, because she gave out of what she didn't have. The little she had, she brought to the Lord. And so that might be you. And I definitely don't want to talk you out of that. If the Lord's like, hey, give your last dollar. I don't want to be the guy that's like, oh, disobey the Lord. Of course, if the Lord tells you to do that, do whatever he tells you to do. But I'm just letting you know, in general, God is not waiting to hit a lightning bolt over your head because you didn't give enough, or you're not sowing enough, or you didn't sow into this ministry. Just pray. Let the Lord lead you. What I do is I pray, and the Lord will say, invest in this person, sow into this person. I get ministries all the time saying, will you give? And I just pray. Lord, do you want me to give? I get people requesting money on Venmo all the time. And I pray and say, Lord, who do you want me to give to? Because they're hey, I need to buy formula. Hey, I need to buy my daughter food. Hey, I need to fix my car. Wow. And I'm constantly giving people on Venmo because the Lord says to. But be Spirit-led, guys. We're in the new covenant. We have the Holy Spirit leading us. If you're confused tonight, if you doubt, go to all the scriptures we gave. Go back and watch the video. It's on the replay. And read through and say, Lord, show me in your word what you want me to do. And the Lord will lead you and guide you. Cap, do you want to start the prayer of just praying a prayer of blessing? I know there's a lot of business owners in the chat. If you're a business owner in the chat, type one. And I want to make sure that, and again, we're not going to say everybody's name here in the chat and all that, but just let us know you're in here. I want to pray for specifically, I'll have you, Cap, as well, praying for business owners, because I do believe, you guys don't have to agree with me, there is a supernatural blessing that God wants to release on your business. Maybe you have an Etsy store. Maybe you have a TikTok shop. Maybe you have an air conditioning company. Maybe you have an electrical company. I do believe that God will supernaturally increase you in favor, increase you in blessing, and all of a sudden your business is the number one search on Google, and you're the one they keep calling, and you have too much business that you can't even do anything with. So we're definitely going to pray for all the business owners and people in the chat that need that breakthrough.
Yeah. Last thing I would say, just as a disclaimer, Isaiah nor I will ever DM anybody asking for you to fund our orphanages.
Thank you.
Never going to happen. Those are scammers. Okay? Don't listen to the scammers. You guys need to have some discernment, y'all. Yeah. If their name is spelled Isaiah with ones and not with I's, that's not really Isaiah.
It's a scammer.
If mine is Cap Chatfield and not Chatfield, that is not me. Okay. So have discernment and hear it from us first. We will never, what's the word? What's that word? We're just never going to ask for it in the DMs.
Bro, this is a true story. I have to tell you this true story. Somebody wrote me and said, I gave $500 to your ministry last night, blah, 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 blah. And we've been talking for months and I felt so bad. I said, that wasn't me. They sent me the link. I'm like, that was a complete scammer. They sent me the Instagram page. This is a true story, guys. They sent me the Instagram page of the person they gave to. Not only was it spelled completely wrong, in my profile, I don't know if you've seen my Instagram, I have an emoji of like, well, I used to have an emoji of like a guy and a girl holding hands, and it was like married, right? It's like an emoji of two married couples holding hands. And then under that, I had four girls, and I'm like, girl, dad. I had like emojis, right? The emoji on this profile was two guys. They messed it up and they put two, bro, it was two guy emojis holding hands. And I'm not lying to you, four black kid emojis. And I told the person, I'm like, how did you fall for that? It was two guys holding hands and four black kids. And you thought that was my profile. But it's so sad, and I kid you not, tens of thousands of dollars have been scammed from people. Guys, don't go to our pages have blue check marks for a reason. We got those check marks so you know that we're verified and that, I'm not married to a man. I don't have four kids that are black. So you guys need to be paid attention to who you're sending money to. We're not going to message you, beloved. I have a word for you. It's like, if the English is broken, guys, I use Grammarly. When I text and when I email, I use Grammarly. My grammar's perfect, not because it's perfect, because of the program. So don't believe these scammers that are writing you saying, beloved, the Lord showed me in a dream or vision, and I have a word for you. I could go on with stories. I won't humor you guys anymore. Go for it, bro. If I
ever use beloved in a text, I'd rather drive my head through a wall. It's
not happening. All right.
So I'm going to read some scripture, and we're basically going to pray this scripture because the word of God never returns void. Deuteronomy 28, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commands that I am giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. You'll experience all of these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Your fruit baskets and breadboards will be blessed. Wherever you go and whatever you do, you will be blessed. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They will attack you from one direction, but they will scatter from you in seven. And in that light of that story, Father, for every person that's felt robbed, for every person that's felt scammed, for every person that the devil has come against their finances, we thank you, Lord, that the promise is that that devil would be sent in seven different directions. And we know in Proverbs that the thief is required to return sevenfold everything that they've stolen. I pray that for every single person in the chat right now. If you receive it right now in the chat, just say, I receive receive it. I receive it. If that was you, if you feel like you have just been robbed from the devil with medical bills, I'm telling you, that's one of the tactics of the devil. He wants to attack your health because then he can attack your finances, and that's how he destroys you. It ends today in Jesus' mighty name. We reject the devil and we submit under the mighty hand of God. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and will fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. If you obey the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, the Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he swore he would do. Then all the nations of the world will see that you are a people claimed by the Lord, and they will stand in awe of you. Father, I thank you for every business person in the chat, every business owner, every employee, every contractor, every stay-at-home mom with a side hustle. I thank you, God, that this blessing, this covenant belongs to us. Doesn't matter if we're Jew or Gentile, because by faith, we have been grafted into the family of Abraham, and everything that belonged to him, everything that belonged to Isaac, everything that belonged to Jacob belongs to us by the merit of us being your kids. And so today, God, I thank you for the blessing. I thank you for the blessing that already exists and that your people are coming into agreement with the covenant that you've already spoken, that you've already established. I thank you, God, that this week will be a week of breakthrough for people who've been experiencing friction, who've been feeling like they're sowing two and reaping one, sowing 10 and reaping one. This will be a week of acceleration as they come into alignment with your spirit. They sow one, they reap five. They sow one, they reap 10. They sow one, they reap 100 in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, God, that there's going to be a chiropractic realignment for your people today, that they've been 1 degree off, 2 degrees off of the assignment that you've given them. You've given them clear direction. In a lack of faith, they have mixed the message and the direction with worldly wisdom, with carnal wisdom. How am I going to make this work? They've made an Ishmael out of the vision that you've given them for their business, like I did, Lord. And today they are coming back and believing by faith that you are actually good enough to bring the thing to pass. I thank you, Lord, that for everybody listening right now, the days of hoping, praying to God for finances are over. Are over in Jesus' name, that they will spend more time praying for the needs of others than themselves, because their needs will be met to overflowing in Jesus' name. I thank you, God, that your word says that he and she who delight in the Lord shall receive the desires of their heart. I thank you, God, that you are causing your people even right now to dream bigger. Their hearts are expanding. Their minds are expanding. They are tapping into the imagination of God and not their own carnal imagination. What could they possibly put together by the strength of the arm of the flesh? But what happens when God breathes on this? They are coming into a place of dreaming the dreams that you have for them, God. I thank you, Lord, for wisdom from on high, to be problem solvers in the marketplace. For the people in the chat right now who are not business owners, but they are employees, I thank you, God, that there's a mantle of Joseph, there's an anointing of Daniel on their lives to be problem solvers for the king in Jesus' mighty name. That favor will follow them all of the days of their life, that every closed door must open for them in Jesus' mighty name, that they are no longer going to be the overlooked Christian, but they will be a Christian that is undeniable, that their presence is undeniable, because everywhere they go, everything gets better because God is with them. I thank you, Lord, for that anointing and that favor. And I thank you, Lord, for the testimonies that are coming back this next week. People who have just lost their job, I thank you, God, that it is a promotion in the spirit. A better one is coming in Jesus' mighty name.
Yes.
The one that aligns with their gifting, the one that works better with their schedule, the one that gives them more time with their kids, the one that gives them more time at church, and the one that pays them better and where they can make a more eternal impact. That is coming for them this week. Father, I pray for emails, text messages, calls to flood in that open up the window of opportunity for your people in Jesus' mighty name. Before you come back, God, I thank you that your people will be a peculiar people, a city on a hill, a light that cannot be dimmed, that the world, while the world is crying out for economic prosperity, economic breakthrough, the people of God, your children will be the answer for this generation in Jesus' mighty name.
Yeah, somebody in the chat said, amen. I'd feel so convicted if I prayed for finances. You should feel convicted if you don't, respectfully, because the Bible tells us to, that God will bless us. We have not because we ask not. And the Bible actually has people that prayed for financial breakthrough. I would not pray for finances if the Bible did not teach us to. But again, I would encourage you to go back to all the verses we gave. The Lord wants to bless you. There's nothing wrong with praying it. In fact, I'm going to lead you guys through the prayer of Jabez, which Jabez prayed this, and this was his prayer, and then I'll have you repeat after me. He said, Lord, this is 1 Chronicles 4:9. He said, Lord, bless me and expand my territory. Be with me in everything I do and keep me from trouble and pain. So I want you guys to repeat after me. I want you to say, Lord, bless me, Lord, and expand my territory.
And expand,
so it's just
my territory.
Everybody in the chat, pray that. And then I want you to say, Lord, please be with me in all that I do.
Lord, please be with me in all that I do.
And then last thing you're going to say is, Lord, keep me from all trouble and all pain.
Lord, keep me from all trouble and from all pain.
And guys, this is what the Bible says. It says, and God granted his request. He prayed that. And the Lord said, that's a prayer I like. I'm going to answer that prayer. Why would God not do it in you today? Is not God the same yesterday, today, and forever? Are we not in a better covenant? How much more would God answer our prayer when we're in a better covenant? So Father, we pray that there would be an overflow. As you said, Jesus, you said that you would give us an overflow in our finances if we sow and if we give. And the amount that we're given is the amount that we sow. And God, I pray overflow in people today. I pray, Lord, those of you that are trying to get a job, type one in the chat. If you are trying to get a new job or you transition, I want you to type one in the chat. I am praying. I just had this visual that you have your resume in a stack of resumes. I pray that your resume would stand out. I pray your resume would glow. I pray that CEO of the company that's looking at your resume would say, this person's not even qualified. They don't even have this certification, but for some reason, I really like them and I'm going to hire them. I pray supernatural favor in your application, in your resume, in your business, in your finances, breakthrough. And I even pray, Lord, help us with our work ethic. Guys, honestly, some of us Christians, we have poor work ethic. That's not okay. We should be the first ones at work and the last ones at work. We should be the ones with the most work ethic. We have God inside of us. How much work ethic should we have? Faithfulness is our character. That's consistency. And when you're back and forth sleeping in, not showing up to work, that's not faithfulness. That's not being faithful. We need to be men of our word, women of our word, and faithful. So I pray, Lord, that you would release work ethic. I pray, Lord, you'd release conviction over some of us that have terrible work ethic. And I pray that Christians would be the most desirable people to hire. That jobs would say, oh, you're a Christian, you're hired. Christians are the hardest workers. They're the ones that are always there. They're the ones that are, man, I'm hiring you if you're a Christian. I pray, Lord, let us be those that work harder than anybody else. God, let us be those, as Paul said, somebody that doesn't have, a man that doesn't have a job and provide for his family, he's worse than an unbeliever. God, I don't want to be that guy. I want to be a hard worker. I want to do it excellent. Whatever I do unto the Lord. Whatever I'm doing unto the Lord. So Father, I pray, release that work ethic. And I want to pray one last thing. I pray that, Lord, you would drive out the spirit of poverty from our lives. I pray, God, that you would drive out that spirit of Midian, that Midianite spirit. The Bible says the Midianites would come and the seed would grow and they would destroy the harvest and they would wait for the seed to grow. And some of you feel like, man, I can't get ahead, but God is going to drive out that Midianite spirit. God's going to drive out the Midianites. I pray that, Lord, you would break the power. I pray, Lord, you'd break the power of poverty in our generational bloodline. I pray that the generational curse of poverty would be broken, that you will not be poor just because your parents were poor, your grandparents were poor, your great, we come out of agreement with the curse of poverty and we come into agreement with the blessings of God. The blessing, God said, I will enrich you so that I can fulfill my covenant with Abraham. And as Cap said, we are children of Abraham because of our faith. We've been grafted in. And so Lord, I pray blessing. You would release it, God. Supernatural. Do what only you can do, God. Do it according to your word. We bless everybody listening. We just pray, God, right now in our finances that there would be supernatural prosperity and blessing in our health, in our finances, in our soul, in our emotion. Lord, that you would bless people tonight.
Thank you.
Because your word says you will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Man, amen. What a great broadcast. Hallelujah. We definitely need to do, we're like almost 2 hours in. We definitely need to do a part 2. I love having you on, bro. I would love for you to let anybody know I mean, listen, you got 1.2 million subscribers, so they all know you have YouTube. I've linked your YouTube down below. Is there anything else that we can plug them into or anywhere else they can follow you or where they can hear you preach? Because I know they're going to say, where is he preaching? Where could we hear him? Is there an event schedule? Is there anything else that they can I can point them to tonight to follow your stuff?
I don't have an event schedule. If you want to help me put an event schedule together, I'll hit you up offline about that because I would love to do that.
But I need help with mine, bro. I'm always like, my events, I upload them like a week before. The chat's going to get mad because they say, Isaiah, you never upload your events. But yeah, we can help each other with that. But is there anywhere else they can connect with you?
Yeah, Chatfield everywhere. Thankfully, I have a very unique name, so it's not easy to copy. Just make sure you find the one with the blue check mark. And then capchatfield.com. You can learn more about my ministry there and subscribe to the email list and give if you'd like. But yeah, just capchatfield, easy to find.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.